Promised Land. One person said good morning. Thank you for saying good morning. Good morning, Promised Land. Yes, we're happy to be in the house of the Lord today on Palm Sunday. I have my beautiful wife, Tabitha, with me to preach the message today. Give her a hand. Y'all, this week I've been studying my sermon with her. I'm used to studying by myself. And having her, and she's had so many ideas, I was like, Lord, I don't know what we're going to say, because I had 15 pages of notes after we were done studying together, but I'm so excited to be teaching with my wife today, and it's just an honor for me. She is, we're talking about people of peace this week, and she's been an amazing person of peace in my life. She's shown me how to love people. She's shown me through her life how she just reaches out to everybody, and I'm just so thankful that I get to teach with her today. Amen? Awesome. We want to welcome all of our folks online this morning. We are so happy that you've come to worship the Lord with us. We would love to know where you are watching from, and if you have any prayer requests, we'd love to pray for those needs all throughout the week, so let us know about that. I guess we need to sit down and teach this message, huh? And so this is week 3 of the sermon series, People of Peace. What have y'all thought of this message series so far? It's good. It is so good. It is so good. Again, two people. I'm glad that message has touched two people's lives, you know. But we heard an amazing message last week from Pastor Herbert and Dr. Kayon Johnson. They did an amazing job, did they not?
They don't get a doctor this week. We get a Pastor Will, and I'm working on my master's of SHM, which is like stay-at-home mom. That's my degree.
And baby, you are a master of stay-at-home mom. She's amazing. If we paid you for everything that you do, there wouldn't be enough money. So last week we heard a great message from Pastor Herbert and Kayon, and you know, we learned about what a person of peace is. All a person of peace is somebody who is ready to hear the good news about Jesus. A person of peace has been brought to a point in their life where they are open to hear about God. And that's all a person of peace is. And, you know, this sermon series is about God sending us out on a mission. He's sending us all out on a mission to identify and talk to people of peace. And we hope that this sermon series is also change your definition or your view of what an evangelist is. Evangelist. You know, evangelism is simply this. It's simply introducing a person of peace to Jesus. When I first came to church, we went to this really small church about 20 years ago, and they would go door knocking. And that's when you go to a complete stranger's house and you knock on their door. And I was terrified. Y'all, that was the scariest thing I'd ever done in my life, and I had jumped out of an airplane at 13,000 feet, and I was more terrified of going up to a complete stranger's house and knocking on their door. And God did some amazing things. At first, I was so terrified, and then, you know, I got a little braver, and then there'd be one person where we'd get to talk to them about God, and that was awesome. But in our minds, we have this thought or this idea of what evangelism is. We often think of street preachers, or you think of that guy that's got that clapboard sign on that says the end is near, and he's out on the street corner and he's, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And you're like, yeah, okay, I want to come to your church, you know. And so, you know, but God may call different people to different things, but what we want to do today is disprove the myth that you have to be a preacher, or that you have to be a teacher, or that you have to go through weeks and weeks and weeks of intense training for you to just go out and talk to somebody about God. We want to disprove that myth. And really, God wants us all to be on a daily mission to find people of peace, to find people that are hurting, to find people that want to know about God, to find people that are interested and open to hearing about God. And last week, we learned about our relationships, basically evangelizing in our relationships, our passing relationships, just our presence, our permanent relationships, those relationships we just can't get away from. And we have all of these relationships in our lives. And God has given us a mission to speak into those lives, to speak into those people of peace. And some of us are asking the question, wait a minute, you don't know who I am. You really don't know who I am. How could God use me as an evangelist? How can God use me as an evangelist? How can he use me? And we want to help you with that today. And Tabitha and I, we're not expert evangelists. We've been living for the Lord for, I've been living for the Lord for over 20 years, and you've been living for the Lord a lot longer, a little bit longer. But when I first came to the Lord, I didn't do it right. I came to the Lord, and I got my Bible, and I went to my cousins, and I started saying, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and this is what God says, and this is, and that didn't work out so well. It actually backfired, and they didn't want to hear anything else I had to say about God. And so we've learned to do things the wrong way, and we've seen God use different ways that really seem to be effective, that really seem to work. And that's what we'd like to talk to you about today, is we just want to equip you with some ways to be an evangelist to the people you are near, the people that are in your life, the folks that God has put in your path, those people of peace. And one of the ways that we can be an evangelist is to be simply available, to just be available. And what are we talking about here? We live in a very fast-paced world. We've got kids in oboe lessons. We've got kids in, right, oboe, did I say it right?
Bassoon.
Bassoon. See, I should know what my kid.
We have basketball, guitar,
and so we're just going all over the place, and we've got so much on our schedule, running from one place to the next, barely an opportunity to slow down. It's like we're an Uber company, but just for our kids. And it's tough sometimes to stop and say, God, what's going on in this situation? And God may have somebody there that he wants you to talk to. And so we have to sometimes slow down and say, okay, God, what's going on here? And when a neighbor walks out of their house and they begin to talk to you, you can say, well, I got to go. See you later. Or you can stop and actually talk and actually listen to them. And that shows them something, that they're valuable enough that you will make time for them and stop and be available. And I've heard a pastor say once and this is something that really struck me. He said, the greatest ability is availability. Let's say that again. Our greatest ability is availability. You could be the most talented speaker. You could know Greek. You could know so many things. And you could know so much about the scriptures and walk by people who are hurting and who are lost and who just want you to talk to them, or just if you would just give them a moment to be available. And so the greatest ability is availability.
Sometimes that's hard, you know. As busy as we are, it seems a lot of times that it's at the most inopportune time. You know, when it always at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the kids are coming in from school and you're trying to make dinner and, you know, you're trying to maybe get back to the church or go to one of those lessons, and then someone's like, hey, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? And you're going, yes, you can. Love it, you know. And you have to like stop what you're doing. You know, you're at work and you have a full plate. Maybe you've got a project that's due, but somebody just needs you to spend a couple minutes and talk with them. You're at school or wherever, somewhere. Just sometimes, it's a sacrifice. It is. Sometimes you have to just stop what you're doing and be available to talk to these people. And that just making it known that it's not always convenient. Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes, Tab, my wife goes to HEB to just get like milk and eggs. And then I look down at the clock and she's been gone for 2 hours. was like, how, what, where is she like getting them individually, each egg individually from, you know, I'm like, what's going on? And she'll usually come home from HEB and she said, the most amazing thing happened. I had this conversation with this person and they began to just open up. And my wife has this talent that no matter who she's talking to, I look over and 2 minutes later they're crying. I don't know how she does it. I don't know what it is, but
in a good way, not in a bad way.
Not like crying to get away, but she likes to hear their story, and they begin to tell her their story, and usually there's pain points that come out in her life, and God uses her to witness to them. And it's and so I don't, when I know that she's been gone for 2 hours when she just went to go get milk and eggs, I know that God stopped her and made her available for somebody else. And yeah, it was inconvenient. Yeah, we had waiting on dinner. Yeah, we were trying to get things done or go somewhere. But sometimes it's more important to stop and say, God, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give this person time. I'm going to be available for them.
Is that easy for you?
That is one of the toughest things that I am a task-oriented person. Most of the time, you don't see me sitting in one place at the church. I'm usually running all over the place, fixing a light, fixing microphones, or going next door and fixing the. I'm just running all over the place, and sometimes God has to tell me, "Will, stop. Talk to people. People are more important." And sometimes God needs to do that, and that's something that God has to do with me. Yes, I have a list, but folks, we're always going to have a list. No matter what you get knocked off your list, guess what? There's going to be some stuff on your list tomorrow. Take time and be available. Allow God to use you just because you are available, just because you made time for somebody. I have a story. When I first came to the Lord, I didn't look like this. I looked like a thug, a punk. I had gold chain around my neck and silk shirts and shaved head and big old earrings. I just thought I was a tough guy. And we went to youth camp. And so the reason why I was going to youth camp is because I was dating Tabitha, and her mom said that I couldn't date her unless I went to church with her. So I'm like, okay. So I went to church, and I was just really going for her. And then we ended up going to youth camp. And so I went to youth camp, and I was playing basketball, being the tough guy, and there was another tough guy from another church. And so we were fouling each other. We were, like, getting in each other's face, we were just being idiots. And we did not like each other at all. I would rather punch him in the face than talk to him in the same, and we almost did. And one night at youth camp, we had this amazing worship service. And God got a hold of my heart, and I began to just talk to God, and I began to pray, and I began to just, God really started changing my heart and changing my life. And I remember talking to God and just telling God that I was sorry for acting the way I was acting. And then I heard God say something to me, not an audible voice, but it was like, he said, go talk to that kid. Go talk to that boy that you almost got in a fight with. And he's not at the front of the church praying with everybody else. He's sitting back on the church pew. He's got his arms crossed. He's not having anything to do with anything. And I'm like, God, you're making a mistake. I'm not going to do that. We're going to get in a fight, and this is going to disrupt this entire church service. You don't want to do that. So I began to pray again and ignore God. And God said, uh-uh, go talk to him. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to talk to him, but this is on you. You told me to go and do this, so if something happens, God, it's on you. And I went back there, and he's like I was going to do something. And I'm like, hey, you might find this weird, but God told me to talk to you, to pray with you. And I began to just pray for him, and I began to tell him that God loved him. And I remember just seeing his face change. That tough look went away. I remember seeing him close his eyes, and his hands started going up, and he began to weep. Like, not just cry, but his whole chest was shaking. Yet I could just see so much pain on his life. And God began to move on him in that situation right there. God used me, an idiot, a punk, he used me to go and talk to this guy. And made me available, even in all of my mess. He went and this, God did it. But God used me in spite of myself.
With that, I mean, you think about us, you know, God, you want me to go talk to somebody? You know I haven't prayed that much this week. You know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. My heart's not all the way clean. I'm not holy enough right now to go talk to them. But he uses it anyways. He uses those situations and then not only helps that person, but heals Will. You know, makes him get that bitterness out of his heart and get closer to God and to give him a testimony that we're using 20 years later. You know, God does those exciting things. So whenever you're like, man, I'm not qualified, I can't do that. Yes, you can. He uses you anyways.
God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And so you may say, well, I'm not equipped. I don't know enough. I don't have enough. Just the fact that God has done something for you and something for your life, that qualifies you to tell somebody else about it, to be available. One of the things to be an evangelist, to not just be available, but be concerned. Actually being concerned. You know, people, there's people around us in our proximity that are going through incredibly tough situations, and we may not even know about it. But when you show concern to somebody, when you actually take the time to smile at them or greet them and show that you're concerned, God can do amazing things. Amazing things. There's a scripture in Mark that just applies to this.
Mark 12:30-31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.
So we look at this scripture and it says there's no other commandments greater than these. And if you boil that down, it's saying love God and love people. And our mission statement at Promised Land is actually this verse here, that we exist to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. And so what this scripture is saying is love God. And by you loving God and by God changing your life and God changing your circumstances and God changes the things that you put your trust in, it changes you so much that you can actually love people, to love other people. See, God changed me that night. God changed me where that guy that I wanted to beat up, he changed that around. I probably would have got beat up, let's be honest, okay? But he changed that situation, and he made me love him. He made me love him. And so when we're concerned, and it can be something as simple as this, did you know that a smile can change someone's life? A simple smile. There can be somebody that walks in this church building today, and we don't even know what they've gone through today. We don't even know what they've gone through just to get here. And when they open those doors and they see a smiling face, when they see a smiling face and somebody greets them, we are so happy that you came today. We are so glad you came to worship with us. That is everything. That is evangelism. That is evangelism. And it's so simple. It can be a kind word. It could be something as simple as listening to someone's story. And when you hear that story and they begin to tell you about something they are going through, and you see this pain point in their life, you can use that situation and say, ah, God loves you. God loves you. I've been there. God loves you. Let me pray for you and really pray for them.
You know, I think sometimes Facebook can get a bad reputation because, you know, there's lots of narcissism and there's lots of people airing their laundry out that they should keep a little closer to home. But one thing I do like about it is that you're able to, like, keep up with people that maybe you're not around all the time. Sometimes people will post things, and it gives plenty of opportunity for you to be an evangelist. There's plenty of times for you to go, hey, I saw that you're struggling with, you know, whatever's going on. Just let you know I'm praying for you. We had some family that we haven't seen in a while, and they posted that he had to have emergency surgery on Thursday. She was getting induced on Friday, and their three-year-old had been sick all week long, and I was like, oh, that's too much. I said, hey, let us bring you some dinner. That way that's one less day that you have to take care of that to help, you know, whatever. And when we got there, we hung out with them for a little while. And then he said, could you guys pray for us? Yeah, we could pray for you. And that's the thing. These are all little seeds. And it does. It takes your time. It takes your money and your, you know, to provide these things. But it's worth so much. It's just investing in somebody else and showing them that you're concerned, whether you reap anything at all. I mean, you know, maybe we won't see them anymore. It doesn't matter. It's all for him anyways.
That's so good. And the feeling that you get that you were used by God to bless one of his kids, there's nothing like that. I mean, they felt good because we brought them food and we brought them dinner. But after we prayed for them, we left that house and, oh, it was so worth it. We felt amazing. We felt like, oh, you know, just the feeling alone was like, oh, that was just awesome that God used us for that.
Well, and
that.
Like we were saying about sometimes it not being convenient, it was one of those days that it was so rainy and I had just gotten back in town from being gone for a long time. I just wanted to hang out with my kids. I wanted to lay on the couch and just cuddle and watch a movie with the kids. It's what I wanted to do. And inside my flesh was like, oh, okay, let's do this, you know. But then it's worth it, you know. I don't know. We have another story that is so awesome that we've been living off of for a couple of weeks because it just was so exciting. But we have a new family in our promise group that's, I think, been part of our church since July, I think. And she was at promise group the other night, and she had pictures in her hand. I was like, what are those? You know, she said, they're when I got baptized. I was like, you got baptized? I knew she'd been thinking about it, and she'd been praying about it. And I was like, tell me about it. What happened? What was the final decision? What changed to make it so that it happened? And she said that she has a young adult son that was having a really rough couple of days. He was just having a hard time and feeling very discouraged and down on himself. And that night, Pastor Herbert was going to pick up Kayon, and he had a little bit of extra time, and he was like, I'm going to call that guy. They don't know each other very well at all. You'll find out in a minute. But he called him and just checked in on him and said he was praying for him. And whenever Herbert hung up, the guy told his mom, how did he know I was having such a rough couple of days? How did he know that I was struggling? She's like, I don't know. And it just meant a lot to him. So you fast forward a couple of days, Sunday morning. I told you that he didn't know Herbert very well. He came into the church and he was trying to figure out who Herbert was. And then he's like, oh, that's him. Okay, I'm going to go get prayed for. So he goes and gets prayed for. Well, afterwards, we're talking about baptism. And he decides to get baptized. Well, then he looks at his mom and says, you're getting baptized. And she's like, okay. Well, then the younger boys were like, I told you I want to get baptized. So then they're all going to get baptized. She said she went to hand her phone to her husband to get him to take pictures. She couldn't find him because he was in the back getting changed to get baptized. So the whole family has this amazing testimony. Pastor Herbert, it's not because of Pastor Herbert. It's not, but he took the time. He planted a seed. He showed that he cared about somebody that he had just met, you know, not, like I said, a deep relationship. And then it just impacted that family. Well, then, that week, she said it was hilarious. Like, people would call her and, like, need counseling. Like, hey, can I come talk to you? I'm having a really rough time. She's like, yeah, talking to him. And then by the end of the conversation, hey, can you pick me up for church on Sunday? She's like, yeah, sure. Like, it kept happening. She said they had Saturday that they were going to do all this yard work. You know how you do? You pick the whole day that you're going to get everything done. And people kept calling her and, like, showing up. And she said she looked at her husband, we're going to have to drive two cars. Because they had 13 people come to church with them that Sunday.
Yeah. Let's give God some praise for that. That's awesome. That's awesome.
But, so, you know, with that, I mean, Herbert could have been like, man, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to say to this guy. All you have to say is, man, I was thinking about you, and I'm praying for you, and I just want to make sure you know that God loves you, or, hey, I'm just thinking about you. Who doesn't want to hear that? Who doesn't want to hear that somebody's thinking about him and praying for him?
And so what you had here was God did that. And you had Herbert, who's a person of peace, and you had another young man who's just coming to know the Lord and is a person of peace. And God tapped Herbert on the shoulder and said, you need to call this guy. And Herbert was obedient. And that phone call, that small phone call, because of the unction of God, because God was just prompting his heart, came at the exact right moment. The exact right moment. And so sometimes if God puts somebody on your heart to do something, there's a reason for it. God is at work. God is doing something. And so we respond to God. And when we respond to God, amazing things happen. A simple phone call set so many things into motion, and now lives are changed. Generations, a generation of kids will be changed, and this family will be changed. That's just, it's just so awesome. And so another way to be an evangelist is to be different. To be different. I'm not talking about being weird, but being different. Being different is when we live a godly life in front of somebody, and they see that something is different about you. They see that you respond to situations differently. They see that if nobody at the office gets a raise, and everybody's grumbling and upset, and they see that you're not grumbling and you're not upset because you trust God, and that God's your provider, and you respond differently, you act differently. You become what the Bible calls as a peculiar person, and a peculiar person is just somebody that, man, you stand out just because you don't act and look like everybody else. You're different. You're different. And I think about this, that when we live a godly life in front of people, when we begin to reflect the things that God is doing in our life, and we respond differently, and we're not joining in, and we may not go to happy hour with everybody else and get drunk. We may not do that. It's because something is different in our life, and we've been changed. And so they begin to notice this. They begin to pick up on things like, hey, you are different. You are different. There's a scripture that refers to this in 1 Peter.
1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I have another friend that told us an awesome testimony this week. She said that she had been looking for a job for a while, and it had taken her a while to find the one that was right for her, and she got it, and it was going pretty well, but the management there is not great and has caused a lot of strife among all the teachers. And she was starting, the other teachers were starting to grumble a lot, and, you know, it was starting to affect everybody, and she was starting to participate too and getting down and getting frustrated with her job also. She came to church first Wednesday earlier this month when Pastor Ben was talking, and he was talking about sometimes you ask for a blessing, or you ask for a job, or you ask for a relationship, and then you give it some time, and then you're starting to complain about it, and you're unthankful. And she said it convicted her, and she was like, oh, that's me. I'm so sorry, God. I'm thankful. I am thankful, and changed my heart. She repented, and it changed her heart. Well, then the next day at work, she gets called into the office, and her boss is saying, man, everybody here loves you. You're so peaceful, and you're such a great addition to our staff, and all the teachers want you in each of all their classrooms, and I know there's lots of grumbling going on, and I appreciate you not participating in that. And she's like, well, she said, I was, but, you know, I have changed. My heart has been changed, and that is a testimony. When you can be real, when you know that we're not just floating around on clouds all the time, you know, we're so holy and never making a mistake and never, you know, losing our temper on our children, or, you know, being impatient with our spouse, or talking bad about our boss, you know, being real.
Yes. And what she showed her boss, she could have been tempted to say, you're right, I didn't join in all of those with all those other people who've been grumbling. Got to keep it real for everybody here. And she didn't do that. And that was that could have been a temptation, but she said, I did. I'm sorry, but God changed my heart. God showed me that I, and so right in front of this boss was able to see God's work in action on her life. And it was real. It was real. She basically preached a sermon to her boss that says, yes, God's working on me. God's changing me, and I'm so thankful for this job. But yes, I did contribute to that, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to, you know. And so that was truthful, and it was a real testimony. It was a real thing, and that's part of being an evangelist is being real. Just be real. You know, this world is full of facades. You know, so many things really are not what they seem. And people can smell a fake a mile away. People can really smell a fake a mile away. And so if we put on this facade, like we're just this holy Christian and nothing ever happens in our life, hallelujah, bless the Lord, God is good, God's favor, I'm highly blessed. And people know that that's not real, that that's an act, that that's a facade. They want to see real people.
Maybe they don't know it's a facade. I mean, if you think about some people that are, I don't know if you grew up in church your whole life or if you came in later, but think about the people that made you want to know God. Were they like salesmen? Were they, come on over here, you know, and that whole fakeness? Or were they real? And you could see, that, oh, man, you're going through some difficult stuff, but yet you're still giving God glory and you're doing okay. That is real. If they think that our life is unattainable, why would they want it? They'll get discouraged. They'll think, oh, man, something's obviously wrong with me because I'm not like Will. I'm not like Tabitha. I'm not walking around happy all the time and, you know, everything's perfect, because everything's not perfect. It's not. We need to make it so that they need to know that it is not us. It is God. We rely on Him. We are dependent on Him. He is the one that pulls us up every day, dusts us off, shines us up a bit and sends us off again and then again and again.
That's so good. And being transparent, it shows that you depend on God. When we show that we're perfect or we try to put on an air that's perfect, it's an unattainable and it's a frustrating thing, because when you live life in front of people and you let them see that, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm going through this, and God is helping me, I'm starting to trust God in this area of my life, That process shows that you're a human and that you're relatable. That's the thing about being a Christian, is we have to be relatable. They have to see, okay, I want that. I want what God is doing in your life. I see how dependent you are on God. I see that you can trust God for so many things. And what's awesome about that is they begin to see where your hope is. They see where your hope is. And we become transparent and we show that, hey, we live a real life. We sometimes cry. We sometimes have bad days. We sometimes wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Amen? Anybody ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed in here?
Only you, babe.
Only me?
Yeah.
Okay. You living your life there on that job or at that school or in front of your friends, It shows them what a Christian is. And I want to say something. Sometimes we feel like, man, if we could just get, if Pastor Robin would come to my job, man, he could quote all kinds of scriptures to him. And, man, he would know the right thing to say to him. He would know all the right words. And, man, if he would just come to my job, I could get all these rascals, all these folks that I work with to come to church. But the truth is God has you there for a reason. God has placed you where He has placed you for a reason. And that they have seen your life for a while, for one way, and when God starts changing your life, and when you show them, you give them a glimpse, and you're transparent, and you're showing God working on your life, you begin to build what's called a testimony. And they begin to see what God has done in your life. And so I've heard a pastor say this last week, it was just really powerful. Pastor Kevin Gerald says, we are who we are, why we are, and where we are, because God put us there. We are who we are and why we are, because God put us there. You're right where God wants you to be. You're right in the area where God wants you to be. And God wants you to realize something, that you are qualified, that you are an evangelist, that you, if God has done something for you and it has been amazing and God's done something and He's forgiven you, He's brought you out of something, you have something to say about God. You have a testimony. And that testimony is powerful. The Bible says it's so powerful that in Revelation it says they overcame him. And they're talking about the devil. They overcame, then this was the church, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now that's the power of your testimony.
You have to think that with your testimony, there's things that you've gone through in your life, some that are horrendous, some that were so painful, and you thought that you would never get through it. And then you're on the other side. Well, there's somebody else that's still in the middle of that. There's someone that's still in that abuse. There's someone that's still in that horrible marriage or someone that's fighting that addiction. You're on the other side. They need to hear your testimony so they can go, oh, okay, look, right now I feel like I'm drowning and I can't. I'm not ever going to get out of this. But I see you and I go, okay, I can do this. I can't tell you how many times. And both Will and I have had some very interesting lives, very interesting households that we grew up in with a lot of pain and a lot of rough stuff. But God has used all of it. Some things that some people don't recover from, and we are able to, hey, I know what that feels like. And I do remember going to bed so heavy. But God is big, and he can take all of that away. And I am proof that you can live through it and have a wonderful life.
So your testimony is the things that God has brought you through. Those victories that God has brought you through. Those times where you didn't think you were going to make it, but God kept you going.
It's like,
God,
you know,
kept you going.
The support groups that are always specific to those things, you know, divorce support group or alcohol, whatever. There's people that they need. It shows that as a community, we need those people that have been through stuff. That's how you trust people. You're like, oh, okay, you have been through that. Okay.
Amen. Amen. And that's awesome. Our last point is that we evangelize by simply loving people. When God's grace has come into your life and it has changed you and it's changed the way you live, it's changed the way you speak, it's changed you from the inside out, it's taken away hate, it's given you peace where you thought you'd never have peace in your life. And it's changed you so much that love trickles down into your heart, and then you are able to love other people. It's only by the grace of God that we can really do that. And I want to read a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 from the love chapter. And this scripture is from the Amplified Bible, so it's a little longer. But I want you to picture this scripture not just about the way that God loves you, but about the way that we are to love others. It says, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. It does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude or self-seeking. It is not provoked or overly sensitive or easily angered. It does not take into account wrongs endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevail, love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Love believes all things, looking for the best in each one. It hopes in all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, enduring all things without weakening. What if we saw people the way that Jesus sees people? Instead of looking at that person as an addict, or a gangster, or looking at that person as somebody that is brash and rude, or looking at that person with all of their issues and the way that they talk and that they annoy you, what if you were able to see them through the grace of God, to see the best in them? And let me put this way, the best in me is Jesus. The good thing in me is Jesus. And what if God gave you the ability to say, ah, I see how you're acting now, but if you had Jesus in your life, what God can do in this situation, God's gonna get some glory here with this mess of a person. When you look at people through the eyes of grace, and when you look at somebody and you say, that is a son of God, that person is a daughter of God. No matter how they're acting, they're still God's baby. That's God's. That's God's child. And so love believes the best. We can say, no, I don't want to talk to that person because they were mean to me or that. Love endures. And so if we want to reach people of peace, we've got to see them the way that God sees them. You see, the way that God sees you, that he loves you and you're forgiven and that he's paid for everything. That's how we need to see people, regardless of their shape, regardless of their situation, regardless of their past, whatever they have, you know, just attacking them at that time in their life. We understand the grace of God, and we need to see people that way. And Tabitha, you have a great story. You had an evangelist that reached out to you in spite of the fact that you caused that person a lot of pain.
We moved to Texas when I was 5 years old from Indiana, and we moved to this neighborhood, this trailer park in Austin. And the first time I met this lady that I remember, I was in ISS. I don't know if you guys remember that. In school suspension, because I talked too much in class, and so I got put in there a couple times for talking too much. And this lady, her name was Diana, started planting seeds. She would tell me about Jesus, and she would just talk to me, and she would love on me. Instead of, you know, you think about it, usually ISS teachers are supposed to be mean and stern, and, you know, obviously you're a crazy kid, but she was kind to me. I was six. She lived in my neighborhood, and I would play with her son, and this woman loved animals more than anybody you've ever met, like times a billion. She loves animals, and she had a dog, and I would go and talk to her dog through the fence. Well, I guess I kind of tortured the dog and would stick my fingers through the fence. Well, it made him agitated, and he bit somebody, and she had to put her dog down. She still loved on me. She still would talk to me, and she would still let me come to her house. And she invited me to church. And she said, hey, you want to come to youth group? Which I guess they had youth group for little kids. And so I went with her, and I loved it. And she took me all the way around the church, and she took me up to the baptistry and explained what baptism was. And I remember thinking, I want that. I want to do that. I want to get in there. I wanted what she was so kind. And so I came home, and I told my mom, Mom, I'm going to church. And she's like, no. Nobody else is taking you to church. So then she started coming. And then my little sister started coming. And then my Aunt Deanna started coming. My uncle and my cousins. And then Ann Griffith that goes here. And then, like, it just, like, started affecting all these people. Later on, when I was a teenager, I met Will. Will had to come to church if he wanted to date me. So then Will got in church. Will's brother Cody started coming to church. You know, my teenagers bring kids to church. My little kids bring kids to church. If that lady, I mean, I want you to think about a six-year-old that has an attitude problem, obviously, and is causing trouble and caused pain in your household, but you still love on them, and you still take time out and spend time with them and bring them to church. She didn't have to do that, and she did, and our lives were changed. Generations were changed. Our kids have no idea. Our lives, I can't even explain to you how different my kids' childhood is than ours. So different. And then the different people that it's just affected. It's been amazing.
So sometimes it's the smallest things. Sometimes it's just being available, just stopping for a moment to be concerned, to live a life that has been changed by God, and you're a little different at the office place, and sometimes that's uncomfortable. But living a life that's been changed by God in front of others, being different and being real and loving on people, that's what an evangelist is. An evangelist is somebody that is concerned, that loves God. And loves God so much that they want others to have what they have. I want my family, my mom, my friends. I want people that I work with at the law firm. I want those folks to know what I feel. I want them to know Jesus like I know Jesus.
You know, when we were working on this, I started thinking about, you know, we've used that scripture that says, Paul said that some plant, some water, and God gives the harvest. You know, we used a lot of for the past couple of weeks, a lot of farming terms, you know, some people sow, some people plant, some people water. And it made me think, which is kind of silly, but I thought of Johnny Appleseed, and who was a real man. Looked that up and didn't know that, but how he just went through everywhere, and everywhere he went, he would plant apple trees. He would make orchards, actually. And because he, number one, wanted everybody to have apples because he loved them, and two, because it was sustenance, it was food. He wanted people to have it for necessity and for pleasure, but everywhere he went, he did that, and he would come back and check on them. And so I thought, that's what I think of as a visual for me. Every conversation is a seed. Every phone call is a seed. Every time that you smile, that's a seed. You're just planting seeds everywhere. I mean, he's like, you know, that's in history because of this guy just doing that. He was a missionary too, found that out. But anyways, just think about planting seeds every time. Every time you turn the other cheek. You know, we were saying earlier, we have a couple teenagers now, and there's, you know, there's drama with girls sometimes and with boys, but, you know, especially when kids are coming from different homes and then it affects your kids. And you want to, as a parent, just protect them. I know that they were awful to you yesterday. I know that the way they treated you was unkind. But you don't know their home life. You don't know, do they have a mom that they can go home and say, Mom, this is what's going on? Or are they just lashing out at you? I said, you need to be the safe person. You need to be the people of peace that whenever they're having a hard time, oh, I know I can talk to her because she always is there for me, you know? And that's a seed. That's a seed. That's being available.
Amen. And we want you to know that Promised Land is a safe place. Promised Land is a community. There's a lot of beautiful harvesting that's going on here. There's just this amazing harvest that's taking place. And we want you to know that this week, as you go out this week, and this is Easter week. You know, there's a couple times a year that some people will come to church. They'll come to church on Easter Sunday, and they'll come to church on Christmas or Christmas Eve. This is a week where if you're going to invite anybody to come to church, invite them this week. Realize that you are qualified. That just be available. Go out and pray about touching somebody's life this week. Go out and invite somebody to church with you on Sunday. It can change everything. Your invitation, your smile, you just taking a moment to talk to them, you just being there for them when they need to talk to somebody, to tell a story, and for you to just pray with them. Let's pray. God, we come before you today and are just so thankful, God, that you use people, that you use us in spite of ourselves to reach out to others about you, God. You've changed our lives. You've changed our hearts. God, you have healed us and forgiven us, and your grace and your mercy have completely changed our lives. And God, I pray, God, that you use us to go out and speak your truth, to go out and be kind, to be loving, to go out and just be a reflection of your love and of your light. Use us, God, this week. Help us to be available. Help us to be concerned. Help us to be different. Help us to be real. And help us to love people in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise this morning? God is good. God is so good. And we want you to know that at the end of every service, we have leaders down here at the front that can help you pray for your loved ones, pray for your relationships, and pray for those people of peace in your life that you want to reach out to. We're here to pray with you down at the front, and we also offer baptism at the end of every service. But if you need to go in Jesus' name, go out and find a person of peace, and we'll see you again here on Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.